Thanks. Today's talk of mine is a little bit like high level. Originally, I prepared this talk for food industrial testing conferences. The basic idea is that I look at these existing industrial tools in the market and to see for developer testing, by the way, and then see what are the strengths and weaknesses of these existing tools, and to try to blend in like what are the advances in the research community so that we can communicate with the industry to let them know what we have. And on the other hand, we also help these practitioners to understand these different kind of tools. Because different vendors will say, oh, these are nice features, we have very fancy name for it, but basically they're the same feature as another tool's feature. So I kind of provide better understanding even for themselves in comparing different tools. Because my original talk is about like longer than 1 hour, so I have to cut it short. So that's why I focus on particular test oracles. The parts I cannot present are about test generation, test data, or test input generation. If you want to get a slide of the whole talk, you can go to this particular link, also link from my website. Okay, basically testing is quite simple. And if you would say, you have a one program and then you want to generate test inputs or test data for the program, and then you run the program and run the program with these inputs, and then you get the actual output. If you provide the expected outputs, then you can compare the actual output with expected output. If they are different, then you know you by bugs, or you have some problem with your expected output. So one of the issues addressed by the existing tools is the faster issue, particularly like many of these industrial developer testing tools help you to create tests faster. In particular, like web application testing, the very common one is capture replay, right? Like you play around with the web application and then the tool will automatically capture these interactions and then later on replay it to guard against the regression errors you might have in your GUI application or web application. But here I'm talking about developer testing. I'm talking about the code level. Similarly, in the code level, we also have some tools, industrial tools, to provide this kind of a creating unit tests from system tests. I think like some of our researchers, like including Sebastian, Albrecht, Mike Ernst, and Alex also, three research groups have produced these kind of tools. Basically, you run the whole system test or interact with the program, and then you capture the boundary from outside of a particular unit, flow into this unit and invoke outside this unit. And then you create unit tests for this particular unit. Okay. Some existing tools like Parasoft JTest and like TestMentor is kind of an older tool, provide this kind of feature. They use their particular like nice fancy word like for the test. For place of JTest, they call it like a test sniffer or something. But basically, the same thing as what I just described. So another issue that I noticed is that although we have so many features in IDE, like Eclipse or some other tools like Visual Studio to help developers write production code, but we don't have many features in IDE to help tester or developer write test code. And our group has done some work along that line. Later on, I will touch on that. The first part is just like you capture replay, right? You don't actually add new value into the existing behavior that you originally observed. So more tools would kind of target at this kind of a generating new test to complement your existing test, like either manually written or generated by another tool. So there are some issues here. I think like some of the talks might hinted on, like first you want to generate method arguments in your sequences, in your method sequences. Here I'm talking about object-oriented programming. And then you need to generate the right method sequences. And when these two issues couple together, it's kind of a very challenging problem for this existing tool to deal with. The last key issue for these existing tools is test oracle. Because if you generate a bunch of test inputs, if you don't have test oracle to tell you whether the actual output of running these test inputs will be correct or not, you still don't get the most out of the value out of these test inputs. this is the focus of this talk. I will give you some like kind of high level overview of like my perspective on how Ethereum 2 deal with this issue. So just to give you one concrete example for those who are not familiar with like the unit testing or this particular developer testing. So for a particular unit test, you will write some message sequences, and then for this particular one, it's array list, it's for Java code, and you may try to test this add method to see whether this function functioning correctly. And so basically, you need to first create a particular method sequences to prepare the object state for array list for add, and also prepare the object state for the argument. And so basically, you need to have the right method sequence to help you to generate the test inputs that you want. And other than that, the method sequences, you also need to fill in those primitive argument values in the sequences. So that's the second issue I mentioned earlier. The last one is like you need to put some assertion to make sure like the return value of particular observer method, which basically trying to see whether some object state of this particular receiver object have been correct. Basically, you get this first element of the array list is whether it's the one you just add. Okay. So these are the basic structure of unit tests. I'm going to talk about test oracle, particularly related to the assertions you have seen in the end of the unit test from two angles. One is that how we can assert the behaviors of individual testing. And this might have some downsides, but also have some strengths. And the second type is like, instead of asserting each individual test input's output, you just assert a bunch of test inputs. I will get into the details about that in a moment. Here are some examples of the common practices in adopting by existing tools. For the first time, like you asserting existing, I mean the test inputs in expected output individually. The idea is that, okay, you generate a bunch of test inputs, and then for each test input, you go there to see, okay, whether the output or the return value of some method is expected or not, and then you assert one by one. Okay. The second type is about asserting the behavior that can be exercised by multiple test inputs in these several forms. One is very simple, adopted by all the testing, developer testing tools in the market. Basically, you want to see whether the program crashed for that particular test input. Or for Java, like uncalled exceptions. That's very simple mechanism for us to use. But notice that your program doesn't crash, doesn't mean your program is correct, right? And you may produce wrong output. You may have a wrong return value. So it's not enough to just provide this crashing mechanism in test oracle. So some more tools provide these kind of more advanced features or helping you to assert the behavior of your program and the test. Like one type is just kind of a little bit heavyweight. Basically, you write properties or these kind of specifications in your production code, like precondition, postcondition, or write assertion in your production code. This approach has been adopted by like several tools, like Pairsoft JTest, CoPro Analytics is another recent new tool in the market. The last one is like the recent new features adopted by some existing tools, which is basically write properties in test code. Okay? Instead of writing your properties in production code, you just write on particular test code. So I will get into that like in a minute. The basic concept is incorporated in parameterized unit test, which was used in Microsoft Research PAX, which is a research prototype, and Agita 1. We talk about like different type of like assertions or these kind of properties for you to help you to assert the behavior of a program. There's an economics there. Okay? Yes, you can write assert like properties and pre-postcondition in your production code, but it's not easy, right? So, but it's easier for you to just write this like expected output to confirm one by one of your individual concrete input. That's easier, but you have so many to assert. So that's kind of economics there, and we can further illustrate to understand that. So basically, for this kind of a certain individual test inputs expected output can be easier because you just look at that particular case and you have an easy time in understanding whether that expected output is okay or not. As I mentioned, it might be expensive if you have 1,000 or 10,000 test input to assert. That's true for a test generation tool, right? You can easily generate so many test inputs, but the effort for asserting this behavior might be very expensive because that's manual effort. When you try to spend like 1 second or 2 seconds try to assert or like click this is the behavior I want, notice that the benefit you can get out of this assertion in helping you to gain confidence on the code will be limited to that particular test. Okay? Not really go beyond that. So that's the cost benefit there, you can see. For the second type, like you specify properties for multiple test input, including those heavyweight like specification pre-post condition, class invariant, or like the more recent one, writing property in test input, that's kind of a, can give you more benefit, right? Because you write a particular assertion or property, all the test input that goes through this particular place verification would get like verified. Okay? So that's the benefit you can get. But it's not easy, right? Especially like for the heavyweight pre-post condition. Not many developers in the industry would write them. And we don't have access to many industry code, but look at the open source, right? I mean, when we try to do some like specification-based testing, we want to find subject, we don't find many specification files to start with. So these are economic set for these two different type of ways of dealing with test oracles. Let me just step back and give you more detail, more concrete instances of what I mean by these two type of test oracle mechanisms. The first type is just a certain individual test input. One way to kind of deal with it, but not in a perfect way, is capture assert. The idea is that, okay, you have 1,000 test input, okay? You generate for this version. Then you capture what actually outputs for these test input. And then you turn that into assertions. And then, now you have the test input with assertions, right? Come for free. Like, that's so nice, right? It's like you don't need to have manual efforts. These actually techniques have been copied by Microsoft JTest and CoPro Analytics and RGTAR1. Basically, most of the tools provide these features. Like for some of the, if you look at the web, like from the industry people are talking about these things, they may call this kind of a test as a characterization test. It's like characterize what the program is doing. So it sounds like quite nice a mechanism to address that. Before I get into the issues of this particular mechanism, I would like to give you like how it works in action. So this is a simple put like a stack. Under test with this kind of a test input, like basically you create a stack and push 3 and then invoke top and invoke its member 3. So basically that's what the test data generation tool will do for you, right? It doesn't generate assertions. So it just generates only test data. So what we can do basically is like we run this piece of code, we monitor what's the return value of top, what's the return value of its member, and then we find out, okay, the top return value is 3, the return value of its member is 2. So we turn that into assertion. Then we have this kind of assertion kind of for free. Okay. But the issues are kind of a little bit substantial, which means that it can be useful for you to do regression testing. Like you have one version, you run the test, you get the actual output, you turn into assertion, and then later on you change the code, you might introduce some new bugs. Kind of like unexpected change, and then you run this test, you can find this unexpected change, right? So that's kind of a very useful in regression testing context, but it's not quite useful in the context of finding the bug in the previous version, which means what? Like if early on you have a bug in your code, this assertion makes sure your bug still exists in your future version, okay? It doesn't like detect or expose it, it just makes sure that you still have the bugs there. So kind of alleviate the issue, some tools can allow this developer, as I mentioned, to assert individual test inputs. I just give you one example, like Paris Object Test, a screen snapshot. And you may not see it quite clearly, but I can explain it. So you basically, this bank account class, like under test, you, JTest basically generates a bunch of test inputs. And for those test in assertion method, the return value, JTest will capture the return value, like 0, 7, 0. And notice that when you generate the test, it will just put all these return values unverified. Okay, so basically the tool would expect the developer to manually go through this or click, oh, this is correct, and then, oh, this is verified. And then you see if you want some test, you need to go through it one by one. I don't think many developers would do so, okay? Because the benefit give you is really limited only on that particular location. And there are also many redundancy, or like you just asserting some redundant behavior that you already asserted in the past, right? But that's what the normal tools would provide in terms of asserting individual test inputs. And like, let's get back, step back a little bit to say like how we can help developers to write assertions. So as I mentioned earlier, no or little IDE support to help testers to write test code. Although there are many nice features to help developers in writing this kind of a production code. So to kind of address the issue, or at least as a first attempt to address the issue, my research group has developed a Eclipse plugin called UniPlus. The idea is very simple. Like, first, we kind of do some mining to look at what kind of message sequences a developer has written for a particular object, right? And because you need to use certain object as argument value again and again in multiple situations. So we just like mine these kind of meta sequences you have already written before, and then just one mouse click, you can bring those meta sequences into the code that you're going to run. So that's one step. The second feature is related to test oracle. So the idea is that when the developer finishes writing a test input, our plugin will kind of recommend which observer method you want to invoke, like to provide better test oracle. The idea is that we look at what object fields being modified by the method under test, basically the last method that we invoke in the test code. And then we suggest those observer methods that agree those modified fields. Okay, so that's kind of a narrow it down a bit. This kind of a subset of the observer would have higher chance of asserting what you modify. So that's kind of idea, like helping tester better write code or more efficiently. Several previous talks talk about like specification. So very common ways of doing specification in object-oriented context is decide by contract. Multiple tools provide this feature. Provide some mechanism for you to end, like to specify the class invariant, precondition, postcondition, these kind of things. There are also other kind of specification, but this kind of a pre-postcondition and class invariant would be the most popular ones that are being used in industrial tools. Here I just show a screen snapshot of a Microsoft Spec Explorer, which is kind of a model-based test generation testing tool. Basically, you can specify like contract request, it's kind of like precondition, and it also can specify like assertion, like afterward, like postcondition, and then it will generate some test in data to try to violate those, satisfying the precondition, but violate the postcondition. So recently, some tools have this nice feature of, kind of reduce this overhead in or the required efforts in writing heavyweight specification in production code, because not many developers would kind of invest or not even have the capability of the abstraction level, abstraction thinking to write those properties. So to kind of alleviate the issue, Microsoft Research has developed this kind of tool in incorporating the concept of parameterized unit tests. The idea is that we don't ask you to write very abstract, very like nice properties for your production code to summarize the behavior, what these particular methods would do. We just ask you to write the setup for the method sequences, kind of like address specification, the accent, this kind of thing. And then you just write assertion for this kind of a particular setup of the method sequences, okay? They don't ask you to write the formal accents, and they just write, oh, this is the normal code you would write. And test code you would write, and then make it a little bit abstract. So the key is that you can promote those like arguments in these method sequences as the argument for the test method. So that's different from the normal JUnit method, test method, which don't have argument, but the recent version of JUnit provide this parameterized unit test feature support. For this one, like for array list, again, like we can write a little things like similar to the code we have seen in earlier on the manual written unit test. Here we would like, we first assert like array list is not null, because if it's not, it doesn't make sense for you to just invoke method on it. It's kind of like precondition for this test. And then it captures the count, the particular field of the object aside, so that later you can use it, right? Remember last time we said A0, right? The length. But now we try to object a 0 to like any length. So basically you want to see whether the last element is the one that you just add. So then you write assertion, in the end you invoke add, and then you write assertion. So that's a parameter unit that you would write. And then the symbolic execution-based test generation engine would automatically generate this test concrete argument to try to violate this particular property you write in the test code. So notice the difference is here, we write assertion in test code, okay, rather than, I mean, it's general assertion, not just specific to that particular input. So this assertion would be applicable to all the test inputs that can be passed into this test method. So that's a benefit you can get. Like you write some assertion, but the benefit is beyond that particular set of concrete test inputs. So here, just a screen snapshot of the parameterized unit test in Microsoft PACS. Basically here, for the test method, you have argument. I mean, normally in JUnit test method, you don't have. And then you just write some assertions there in the end, and then you use the tool to automatically generate test inputs for this particular test method to find violation. Okay. In terms of like asserting behavior of multiple test inputs, as we mentioned earlier, writing specification would be good, right? You write specification in your production code, and then you can use that specification to verify all the tests you generate. And we also earlier talk mentioned Agita 1 or Agita, the earlier agitator, sorry. So basically the idea is that you first write some production code, and then the tool would kind of use some DICOM like inference to infer this kind of observation. And then they require the developers to manually verify to confirm, like, this is the right observation, and promote it to assertion. So notice that that's a little bit different from the pairs of J test, like you verify the individual outputs of the particular input, right? Here you just verify this kind of observation for the whole program. I mean, for most of the test inputs that you will encounter. And then if the observation is really not right, then probably it's a bug, you fix it. If it's right, then you turn it into assertion so that later on you can generate new test to violate it, or later on for your regression testing purpose, you can use those assertions. So that's a basic idea. How much time do I have? Okay. So that's the screen snapshot, Agita 1, basically. Before I conclude, I want to mention like another dimension of the test oracle mechanism that we can use, which might not be properly used in industry, but could be quite potentially useful there. The idea here is that, yes, asserting the behavior of or the expected outcome of individual test input might not be feasible or might not be like rewarding, then you just select the most useful for you to assert, right? Very, very powerful technique is just you select only those tests that can achieve new coverage, new code coverage. So some tools like Parasoft JTEST would allow you to configure their test generation engine, say, generate only the tests that can achieve new coverage. Then originally you might have thousands of tests data, but now for the new coverage achieving test, you might only have 10 or 20, and then you can manually assert the expected output of these 10 or 20. Okay, so that can be one way to address the issue. There are some other tools kind of like using new behavior, like Like if a test exposes new behavior, then the behavior I already exercise. I mean, co-coverage would be kind of one way as like behavior, right? You can define coverage as a behavior. But some other tools like based on kind of die-cut techniques, right? You infer invariance for your existing manual reason test. And then if your future generated test violate those invariants, then this test might expose new behavior, okay? It's a little bit different from the statement coverage, but basically the same idea, like exposing new behavior that could provide you extra benefit if you assert the output or the behavior there. And another dimension to address that is that you want to make sure some special behavior are asserted. So if you have specification like black box testing, you have all this range of inputs, I care, then I pick the boundary value, I want to assert them first, and or like pick something in the middle, like partition testing. But the key issue is if you don't have specification, how do you know what are the boundary values, right? So I myself have developed some technique to kind of automatically inferring this kind of special behavior or special test inputs. The second big type is test abstraction. The idea is different from the test selection side. Rather than selecting concrete tests for you to assert the behavior, now we just summarize the behavior exercised by this or a large number of tests, and then you look at this abstraction. So like some for object-oriented programming, like we can recover this kind of a state transition diagram for you to see whether this kind of state transition would be consistent with what you expected. So in conclusion, it's very fast and like going through a lot of material. So basically we talk about generate test inputs in a faster way by capture replaying, and that's not enough, so we need to generate more new test inputs. And finally, when you have this large number of test inputs available, you need to assert the behavior in order to provide you the benefit of finding bugs or increasing the confidence on the correctness of the code. But I'm happy to take some questions. Yes, Andy.
I actually saw in the New York Times the other day, I don't know if you noticed, there was an article in the online version of the New York Times about a capture replay tool.
Okay.
Which just blew my mind. Which claimed, if I understood correctly, it could capture entire Windows sessions so that you could debug them and so forth. But that raises an interesting issue. What if you're able to capture behavior in the field and you want to use some of that behavior as the basis for test cases, then you have to be able to write assertions about operational behavior, which could be much more complicated than your average test case.
Right.
Do you have any intuitions about how feasible that is, or how you might go about it?
So I think my in-field testing can provide you that's kind of a little bit orthogonal with the second part on the test oracle, but definitely is one part of the test generation part. Like originally, we expect the test inputs would be kind of coming from in-house, right? Now, like in-house, you may not expect some complicated scenario that might exist in the real field. Then you can use the in-field data to help you to supply that kind of a test data in-house. I think like some of those techniques in the test oracle still would be applicable. Like you can still use the techniques like you summarize the behavior or you try to find out new behavior different from your in-house one. This kind of a technique would be useful.
I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, if I'm thinking of the test at the same time I'm trying to figure out what the expected output it is, you know, the two go hand in hand. But if I'm given a very complicated behavior,
right,
and I have to figure out what the expected output is, without some kind of, I don't know, automated help, that strikes me as a very hard thing to do in general.
That's true. I mean, especially when you are talking about the internal detail, I mean, not on the overall system behavior level, right? If the overall system behavior, you might have some idea, okay, I should expect this would do this. But if you are talking about certain method invocations return inside the code, so you need to have deep knowledge about the code itself, besides like the knowledge about the overall behavior. Yeah, that indeed, like when you go inside the code, it's more challenging than just from the outside. Yeah, that's a good point. More questions? Yes.
When you give this talk in industry, I'm just wondering what were developers
Which of these problems did they think was the most severe?
It was quite interesting, like when I gave a talk there, I mean, they are not quite up to speed there.
I see.
Like, it's just like, still like quite new concept to them, even like I assume they are kind of basic one. I gave a talk at the, one is in the RTP area, mm-hmm. at the Industrial Testing Conference, and the other is kind of like in the DC area, it's very fine. So I assume the audience there are kind of experienced testers who challenge me with some questions.
Sure.
But kind of I kind of expected like they don't have a good background. And another thing I think like is that because it, the topic, the kind of tool I'm talking about is target for developers. Many of those testers are actually just testers. They are just from the system side, okay, I don't need to have programming skills set, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a little bit mismatch on the, but I don't know where, probably like Java 1, I mean, these more developer conferences
right.
would have like more into this kind of internal mm-hmm. technology stuff. Yeah.
I had a very minor quibble. So at the beginning you were saying that you have two problems, the deciding method arguments
right.
and deciding method sequences.
Right.
And I kind of see both as the same.
Right.
Because you can have a single method call.
Right.
And one of the arguments is another method call, and one of the other arguments is a constructor call.
Right.
So it's all about arguments in the end. So even work that does not explicitly do method sequencing, it does implicit sequencing, and
right.
it has exactly the same problems. So it's all about creating values in the end. So do you agree with that?
I agree, but like in some extent, when you are focusing on a particular class under test, we kind of have better, I wouldn't say a better way of understanding the situation. So like, you would have the primary class, that's the class under test, the object you want to like invoke some like state modified method and observe method on that. That's kind of like primary concern during the testing. And we kind of view like the method sequences invoke or related to the object in the test would be the primary one. And then some other things are coming from outside or primitive arguments that kind of like the slot you want to fill in. So that's that kind of a that way perspective. I agree, like if you view like, yeah, I mean for a particular method, basically, you can consider the receiver object state as one argument, the first argument, right? So then, in order to produce that receiver object state, you still invoke another sequence as well. Yeah.
I mean, to put it differently, method sequences are different from method arguments only when you have global state and you have side effects for every method call.
Right. Like
the example you showed before had no side effects. It just, it had sequences, but you could merge it in one single call.
Right.
So, and the side effects, as far as I know, I haven't seen much work that takes care of side effects because that's a really hard problem.
Right. So, I mean, there's some benefit of viewing in that way. So, in our recent project, we kind of like blending these kind of two techniques, like evolutional testing, which might be good for involving the meta sequences longer and longer, and the symbolic execution, which might not be that good in growing the meta sequences. It might be good at giving a particular test driver with the construct. You can explore everything within that set part, like JPF, whatever, model checker, program model checker. So in that sense, like you can still feel that kind of a separation there. That might give you opportunity. I don't want to say that will constrain your thinking. It would prevent you from unifying these two problems together. I mean, I think Jay Crusher and some other tools basically like combine these two together. That's also another way to deal with the problem. Yeah.
I think we have to stop the questions.
Great, thanks.